Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 223. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
Hello!
Fozzie is currently in the air, coming from New Orleans back to Seattle. And Jeff may have gone to a phony doctor and died.
That's right. He also said that he was already lit, so that doesn't bode well for his staying.
Right,
conscience.
Yeah, he said that like 4 hours ago. So, not in Jeff's place, but kind of place of Fozzie, we've brought on friend of the show, Peter Freeman.
What's up, Cass?
I really wanted Jeff to come on because I wanted to talk about his going to a doctor that's not an MD. I wanted to hear how this all went down.
Is this like an herbal or spiritual doctor?
He was upset because they wouldn't give him medicine. They're like, we want to know what you've been eating.
Right.
No,
he went to
You don't understand, this is not a dietary issue.
Except Jeff's diet is terrible.
Sure. Every time he posts a picture of him awful. Eating food, it's beer and a bag of chips and a cigar.
Yeah. He went to a DO instead of an MD, and it's a doctor of something about bones. Because if you look at the history of it, they believed massage therapy and stuff was, the way to go. But that's not what these guys actually do anymore. So they're actually medically licensed professionals and can administer medication and shit. This guy just scared Jeff a little bit because he had never heard of one before, so.
Why did he go?
I don't know. I assume that his insurance covers him. Maybe. Although the doctor sounded pretty sensible. maybe we should find out what you're eating before I put you on medication. And Jeff was just like, no, just give me the drugs.
This doctor is way more legit than I expected.
Right.
He actually wants to know my medical history and things like that.
God damn it, this is why I went to an unofficial doctor.
Well, I think he was trying to. I guess he didn't really, because they are official doctors. DOs have the same rights and responsibilities as an MD. It's just we hear more about MDs because there's not that many DOs out there. I guess there's less schools that give that degree too. So it's weird.
I hope he pops on randomly in the middle of the podcast, and we can just hear that story.
I just hope he's still alive. That's all I hope.
Yeah.
After you always wonder about Jeff. One of these days,
when he goes, I might be having a heart attack, and then, well, you should go to the hospital. I'm good.
I'm fine. Doctor, I'll walk it off. I'll rub some dirt on my heart. Right. I'll be fine.
Doctor will see me in 3 weeks. What?
I just scheduled an appointment, guys. It's okay.
Right. Jeff, that's not what you do with this.
That's why they have the emergency room.
First, you make sure you're going to live, and then you schedule a doctor's appointment.
Right. Whatever. It's Jeff. But
he strikes me as the kind of guy who would try to drive himself to the hospital in the middle of an emergency as well.
Totally, and kill four other people on the way there.
Yes. And then get there and be actually fine.
Just walk up to the counter and be like, first!
Yeah. He'll be like, no, you just had a migraine. That was it. You weren't actually having a stroke.
You have gas.
Oh. It's not your appendix didn't burst, okay? It's just abdominal pain. Goddamn.
Let's talk about some games instead of Jeff's medical history.
I feel like it's a while since anyone actually sat down and talked about games.
Yeah. Never,
games.
Never do that.
Games suck.
Do they?
No, not really.
No.
Game culture sucks, but I don't want to talk about that. So,
yeah.
Pete, what have you been playing?
I was thinking about this before. I was like, oh shit, I'm going to be put on the spot. What am I going to say? I don't think my answer's going to be any different than it was the last three times I was on here.
You've been playing Dota.
So you've been
right?
playing Dota.
I've been playing Dota. Always.
They made a change, though, right? Or they added a new character?
They added a new character maybe a month ago, and then maybe maybe 3 weeks ago, they put out like a giant balance patch. Okay. And that changed a bunch of shit around, and they reworked a couple heroes. So yeah, things, they like, you know, the biggest change to Dota was that they changed the map around, like, oh so slightly. But since before that time, it basically was the same map that came out of Dota 1, and things like that. But yeah, Dota, Hearthstone, I got back into that recently because all of my friends started playing it out of nowhere. But I'm real bad at it. I am fucking terrible at it. It's
that's why I stopped playing. I am not good at it at all. Like,
I don't know why I bother to run arenas when I get the gold, because I can't, like, I need a list of cards. I need someone to tell me what a good deck is. Like, I can play a card game once I've got the deck. I don't know how to build a deck in Hearthstone yet.
I think it's always been one of my problems in, like, collectible card games is there's always kind of, like, an optimal build, and I don't know what that is. Like, I want to play, like, this card looks cool.
Yeah.
And there's definitely a strategy to it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, what they do with that is that's why you have the 9 classes, because the 9 classes all have their own unique cards and stuff that can play into different things and stuff, but... Ugh. I've been playing... Let's see. I bought Wasteland 2.
Oh, yes.
That's actually pretty fun. I haven't played it in a little while. It's fucking hard. Which is great because, you know, you feel amazing when you finally get past that area. But it portrays the desperation of the wasteland accurately when you're just like, all of my dudes have 3 bullets among the entire party. And so I'm going to have to attempt to melee everything to death. And there's no, like, hub that you can go and heal and stuff. So you're, like, constantly scrounging around for items and stuff. It's great. But I think that's it. That's, you know, outside of the usual stuff, you know, Counter-Strike and whatnot. I sold Destiny. I don't know if I was still playing. I think the last time I was on, Tony and I were complaining about it.
Yeah. Yeah, we did a lot of... We had a Destiny complain fest.
Yeah.
As that game rightly deserves, I think.
Absolutely.
Even though Chris likes it.
I do. I mean, there are definitely issues. I have major issues.
Put it at number 2 in your game of the year list.
On our power rankings. All
right.
It is slipped.
So it's at like 3 now.
I think I might have it at 6 or 7.
Okay. That's a little bit better.
Yeah.
I got like $40 for it, so I was happy. So.
Yeah, Jeff did too. So I'm $20 for Destiny. Like, that's actually not bad. Like, you got your $20 worth.
Yeah.
Like, I mean,
sure.
Did you play through the campaign?
No.
Ish. No. Okay. Well, maybe
I got $20. I unlocked Venus.
Okay.
And then I was just like, I hate this game.
Straight up just hate. All right.
Yeah. The shooting is okay. Like, it's fun. It's kind of fun to play. Like, you know, there's nothing wrong with the shooting. It looks amazing graphically, but in terms of actually playing it, I couldn't help but wonder every 10 minutes or so why I was still playing it.
That's a good question. It's like, I'm sitting there the last 2 nights, like, grinding rep so I can get a new gun, and it's like...
Yeah,
I don't want to do this.
I listen to the giant bombcast, and anytime I hear Brad talk about the insane bullshit he's had to go through in order to get like special weapons, I'm like, you joined a cult or something, dude. Like, only
it's
fuck nut jobs do what is required to get some of these things.
One, it's like, so I took like a week off. The last 2 nights were the first time I played it in over a week. But yeah, like, Don is still playing it like pretty consistently. Like, his original reason for not playing Titanfall with us tonight was he was gonna run like the really, really hard strike, the Nightfall strike.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, that's crazy.
Yeah, like, and I've heard there's actually no like reward at the end of that one or something. Like,
I mean, you get your, you know, your Vanguard credits and
your standard like drops, right? It's not,
yeah,
it's
like
not the special.
Yeah, no, it's very much like you're gonna get X, Y, and Z, and then whatever drops during the actual strike. So you kind of know what you're getting when you go in, but...
Ugh.
I don't know, like, I'm going to try and get a legendary scout rifle. So let's talk some Destiny. So I went back in this week not playing for a week, and I had been rolling for most of the game with a assault rifle, like the standard, not standard. I mean, I had a Shinjin E, which was a blue assault rifle. I had it maxed out. It was pretty awesome. Like, the stability was at 100%. It had a decent impact rating. It had a like 34 shots in the clip.
Nice.
And I mean, I was pretty good with it. I don't like getting close, like, because if I do, I normally die. So it worked for me because I could hit people from a good medium range. I went into a Crucible match when I jumped back in this week, and they totally destroyed that gun.
I never even touched the Crucible.
It's useless in PvE too, because they nerfed it across the board.
Oh, great!
Yeah,
so they can't hit anything.
Right,
yeah. Is that
no?
What it is?
Yeah, it's totally inaccurate. Like, so I have, like, if you're going to use that gun, you have to get in close. I'm like, well, this is useless.
Doesn't that kind of defeat the purpose of it too?
Aren't
scout rifles like the pseudo snipers?
No, the scout rifle. Yes, it's a it's a one shot. It's not an automatic rifle, so it's you put a scope on it, and it's good at range, so it's like a medium to long range gun. And then I think Tony, you were using pulse rifles.
Yeah.
So if you played Halo, best comparison to them, or pulse rifles are like the battle rifle.
Mm-hmm.
The assault rifle is like the assault rifle, and scout rifle is basically the DMR, which I really like in Halo 4. So I'm like, all right, I'll use this. And it works, but now I really have to stay far away, because if you get close with the scout rifle, even though it might have a higher impact and damage rating, like, you're not shooting fast enough to kill anybody.
Uh-huh.
So it's so sucks.
I still follow a couple of people who keep up on, like, patch notes and stuff, and from what I've heard is that anytime anything is good in Destiny, a patch comes out 3 days later that just nerfs the shit out of it.
Yeah.
So slowly it just sounds like Bungie is just siphoning the fun out of the game. Like, and there already wasn't much to begin with. So
people are grasping at what they really want, and Destiny, and they're like, no, that's not what we intended.
Well, first there was Loot Cave number one, and they took that away, so they found another Loot Cave, and then Bungie took that one away. And now I've heard they've gone in and nerfed a bunch of the weapons that everyone was having a lot of fun playing with, and at some point, like, the solution, it sounds like, is to, you know, they're going about solving their problems the wrong way.
Like, when people need to go to these extremes to actually find the core of fun in the game.
Yeah.
Like, your game is poorly designed to begin with. You need to, like, stop killing the things that people find fun and just work on fixing the game. Like, don't go with these minor solutions. Like, go behind the scenes, take your time, work on a big patch that fixes all these problems at once.
But I feel like those problems are more substantial than something a patch could fix. This is like, we need a whole new game.
Well, but you could, I mean, you're coming up on December. They have they're releasing what they're calling an expansion DLC.
Sure, but isn't that like two strikes and a raid?
I mean, we're not really sure. Like, I mean, there's definitely a raid involved, and there's some strikes, and there's a new story aspect to it. But, like, you could improve that side of it and then kind of fix the other issues that people are having with it, where it's just kind of a grind fest. Their level progression past 20 makes zero sense.
Oh, like, yeah.
It's absolutely mind-boggling. Like, we're going to link everything to loot. Alright, well, you want to be a loot game. Your loot kind of sucks, but alright, we'll go with that. You have to level up your armor to advance your levels. But then, what happens is, like, if you're going to continue on that path, the only way to get to max level, which is 30, is to run the raid. And the raid gear is a certain set of armor. So, everybody that's level 30 all looks exactly the fucking same.
Yeah. Okay, so yeah, it includes two strikes, a raid, and four story missions.
Right, so you're going to get, like, what, maybe an hour and a half, 2 hours of... And then, I guess, 17,000 hours of grinding.
And I should put story missions in quotes as well.
Sure. Well, I mean, that's one of the things I really hope they improve with this, is that they're going to go in and actually add some depth to their story. I mean, like, I bought the more expensive version of that game. Like, I bought the one that had the two expansion packs bundled in with it.
Oh, okay, so you had the pass and stuff.
Yeah. So I'm kind of, like, on board up until, like, June or whatever.
You don't have a choice anymore.
Right. Like, I think that this one comes out in December, and then the next one was, like, is it June? Did I hear June? Maybe that's too late. I hope. I mean, that seems really long to let people be going with the paltry amount of content that they have, but I don't know. I really enjoy shooting things in that game, but I am bored of what I am shooting. And we talked about the raid last week. It's like the raid is like nothing else in the game, and I think that's a problem in and of itself. Is that like it does not prepare you for the base game does not prepare you for this thing that is supposed to be the best thing in the game, and it's like you go in and like, what the hell are we doing? None of this makes any sense. You're forced to like solve puzzles, and it's like, that's great. I love to solve puzzles, but I'm not expecting that out of Destiny, so whatever.
2014's most disappointing game of the year.
It's possible.
It's definitely close.
I mean, if you think about it, like in terms of like games that came out and people were like, "What the fuck is this?" You know, there was Watch Dogs, there was Titanfall to an extent, there was one other one I feel like somewhere, and then there's Destiny, and Destiny is just like skyrocketed past all of those in terms of what everyone was expecting, what they were told to expect, and then what they got.
It's so funny that, like, I mean, when you compare Titanfall and Destiny, like, and even just the post-release support. I mean, Titanfall's obviously had, you know, 7 months now.
Right.
To go with that, but Respawn's been listening to their audience and making really smart changes to the game. Like, to the point when I booted it up today and I hadn't played since August, like, that, it's an entirely new game.
And that's like, great.
It's great. Like, it's completely insane that, like, they have changed it that much, and they've just kept improving it and improving it, and like, it's such a deeper game now, and I can definitely see for Titanfall 2, like, there will be a campaign in Titanfall 2, just the way that, you know, the way that they added in this horde mode, and they definitely are seeing that there is a benefit. People want to play this game and maybe not play on a competitive level at all times, so. But Destiny, it's like Bungie just, I don't know if they're using horse blinders or what. They're just running the wrong direction.
Yeah.
Well, I think Titanfall also has the advantage that it was actually a lot of fun to play, like,
yes,
all the time. And Destiny has so, like, there are stretches where you're like, oh, this is great. And then there are huge stretches of the game where, like, it's not fun at all. You're just wasting time or killing the same enemy over and over and over again. Or you know, at the tower.
Harvesting.
Oh my god, let's talk about the
helium.
Tower. I could go on
to want to talk about
for
the tower.
Hours about how the tower was the dumbest design decision of the entire game.
No, like, the dumbest design decision is that you freaking have to go back to space to do anything.
Right. The tower's not a hub. It's just a place that you go to trade in stuff.
It's literally the emptiest social hub I've ever seen in an MMO.
You can't talk to people. You can just, like, wave or point.
Yeah, or awkward dance. Like, and no one actually, like, wants to do anything in there because there is nothing to trade because everything binds to you. And
right, yeah, there's zero in-game economy outside of, like, your personal economy.
Yeah.
There's nothing that dictates, like, hey, I got this awesome gun.
And then they, like force people to go to the tower because there's that one merchant who shows up, like, every Friday only on the week or something. Who for like the
Zur? Yeah, he shows up on from Friday to Sunday. He's there all weekend.
You guys are desperate, but there you could go to whole wings of the tower and not see a single player. Like that place should be where everyone is, you know. And I feel like part of the problem is because it's instanced as well in respect. Well, but
yeah, the entire thing is right. Like it's at best you can have 16 people in your game at one time.
And I think that was a flaw as well. But that sounds like more of a design, like. From the beginning kind of thing, but
I mean it probably made like, hey, we're gonna like boot people onto servers and then they'll bounce it, and it probably kept their infrastructure, you know, on a more manageable level.
I just think, you know, they tried to make an MMO and a shooter together and they kind of made a subpar version of both.
Right. Well, they didn't know how to make an MMO, they knew how to make a shooter, because the shooting in the game is great.
The funny thing is, like, you know, they got Activision, man, which means they got Blizzard. Just get somebody on the phone to be like, how the fuck do you do this?
Well, speaking of that, like, just seeing as how, you know, Blizzard canceled Titan after, like, 7 years in development, I'm not sure Blizzard knows how to do it either. Like, it's like, hey, we lucked out. Like, we were kind of the hot shit, and we stuck that way. But...
Yeah, that's true. But they also knew it wasn't going to be fun, and then decided to just not force everyone to play a game that wasn't going to be fun.
Right. But Blizzard can afford to do that.
Right.
Sure.
Destiny's still, or Bungie's still an independent company. Like, they need Titanfall or Destiny to work.
Yeah, and I'm wondering
if they can't just cancel it.
Because there was that whole thing when Bungie left Microsoft. They bought themselves back. They were contracted for. I think at that point, two more Halo games? Was that...
Yeah, I think Reach and...
Is it ODST and Reach, I believe?
I think so. Those were the last two Bungie did, so...
Yes. So, and... I don't know. For some reason, I keep remembering that they were... Microsoft had, like, right of first refusal on their next project.
Right, they did.
And
they refused it.
And it's like... And, like... You hear about like what they're proposing, and this seems amazing. It's like, why would Microsoft give up, like, pass that away? And I can see why.
Yeah, they saw. I mean, if they've been working on Destiny since ODST, they might have had like really pre-alpha stuff to show, and they just went, "I don't think you guys know what you're doing anymore." Like, right. Who was the guy in charge of Halo? Frank O'Connor?
I mean, he is one of the guys in charge of it for Microsoft now.
I know, but he started at Bungie, right? He started.
He left Bungie and went to 343. Yeah.
Yeah. And I wonder if he was the one who really knew what to do, and like the guys they got working there now are just kind of like, oh,
I don't know. I kind of look at that and go, maybe Frank O'Connor was like, yeah, that seems awesome. You guys go do that. Halo works. Halo's something that I know is going.
Halo.
Yeah, you guys, go. Good luck. I'll be here. We'll have lunch.
Yeah, I'm gonna go.
I'll be buying because you might not have a job at that point.
Yeah,
I really wish that we could get like a tell-all book on what went down with Destiny. Like,
oh, just, I can't wait.
Like, it would be amazing to just hear, because I mean, there's the rumors about how like. About a year ago, the entire structure of that changed, and there was a whole deep story for everything. And the only thing we actually like, the only thing we got for it was that intro was the EXO intro. Like, there was supposed to be a human intro and an Awoken intro, and like the Awoken stuff makes absolutely zero sense in the game because. If you're playing as an Awoken and you go to the asteroid belt, like, you're one of them. But it doesn't make any difference. Like, they kind of treat you exactly the same, and it doesn't, like, none of the story stuff makes any sense.
No.
It's such a shame.
It is. It really is, because I was excited for that game because everyone else was excited. I was like, all right, shit, man, this might be a thing, you know, next gen or whatever, and oof.
Great.
We've gotten the first truly next-gen game. It's called Shadow of Mordor.
I was going to say. Followed closely by The Evil Within.
Jeff seems to really like it. I'm not hearing good things from about anybody else, though. So
Evil Within?
Yeah.
Yeah, the reviews are really all over the place for it. I was surprised. I am a big horror guy, though, so I'll probably pick... And I loved Resident Evil 4. It's one of my favorite games of all time, so...
Yeah, I'll probably play it too. I'll just wait till it's like, you know, $20. And
That's what I'm gonna do with Alien.
That's a good call. Alien Alien might be my most disappointing game of the year, Tony is just gonna laugh about.
Because you knew Tony,
because I've been against this game from the very beginning.
Oh,
because it was by Creative Assembly, who makes the Total War games. And I
was
like,
it's a weird choice.
Why are they making this? They should be making another Total War game, but.
Who's making Total War? What is it? Attila?
The same studio.
Oh, okay. This is their next game.
Yeah.
I've heard that it's a really good 10-hour game and a fairly boring, like a somewhat average 15-hour game and a fucking boring 20-hour game. So,
I mean,
Chris, go for it.
They get the aesthetic right, but there is just, like, I don't know, something's all. I mean, we talked about it a little bit last week that I broke the game.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I broke the game like on the third mission, and it doesn't seem to get better. Like, it's all trial and error because the alien does not work on a set pattern, which for me, I think for stealth games, which I'm not particularly great at, but you know, for a stealth game, I want to see the pattern of what I'm kind of trying to work against. And when there is no pattern, it's just completely random. It makes the stealth just super luck-based.
Kind of frustrating.
Yeah, like, even in The Last of Us, which I didn't think had great stealth mechanics, like, I was at least able to go, all right, I could see the game here. I could see what...
Sure.
Like, you can kind of, like, look in and
and if you had enough stuff, you didn't actually have to stealth it anyways. You could just go in there and third-person shooter the whole thing.
Pretty much how I basically played it, like Uncharted. Which is just kind of dumb, but it works. In Alien, like, you can't fight the alien. Like, if it meets up with you, you're dead, so it's an insta-kill.
Yeah, but I've heard the only thing you can do is if you have the flamethrower, you can...
You kind of scare it off.
Yeah.
But yeah, it doesn't die, so you're still always at danger, and like, it'll jump up into a vent, and it'll jump down behind you, and it's like, ah, come on. Like, this is cheap and unfair. Like, the AI just isn't great.
You know what I do want to do with that game is play with an Oculus Rift on. Like, I would be okay with doing that.
I mean, I think that they get the aesthetic perfect. It is. They really nail the look of Alien.
And I've heard if you play it, like, fairly sporadically, like an hour a day or something, it's not so bad. It's like when you play it for, like, you know, 4 or 5 hours at a time, you're just like, holy shit.
Yeah, like when you play for long stretches, it feels like you're banging your head against the wall, which just isn't fun. Like,
no.
It's not... Part of the fun of playing a horror game is that, like, it's stressful and, like, it gets your adrenaline going and your blood pumping and you're tense the entire time you're playing it. But with Alien, it's not so much that you're tense because of what... It's just that, like, God damn it, I died for the 7th time in a row here. And, like, each time is a different thing. So it's like, I'm not learning how to be better. I'm just trying to get through it. And, like, that... I think that's bad game design, like, if I'm just trying to force my way to the next, so I can get the next story beat. So, yeah, Tony was a little bit right on that. Tony, have you been playing anything? Did we lose Tony? Where's Tony?
I don't know.
Can you not hear me? Am I back now?
No, you're back now. Yeah.
I think I accidentally unplugged my microphone.
Oh.
But I've been playing Crusader Kings 2. Charlemagne expansion.
That new game.
Yeah, that new game that came out 5 years ago. but has a new expansion, so...
So it's still new.
That's fantastic support, though.
Right?
Like, that is amazing.
They're still putting out, like, real... And this is quality content, too, for a game that's been out for a long time. It moves the start date of the game to the reign of Charlemagne. So, originally, the game started in 1066, and now it's, like, 750 AD. So it adds, like, all, like, the Franks and the wars against, like, the Muslims in Spain and some pretty cool stuff in terms of, like, changing the mechanics of the module. I'm playing as the Duke of... The Duke of Upper Burgundy. I decided to play as like a weaker, area. So the Duchy of Upper Burgundy is pretty puny.
Uh-huh.
So in order to expand my holdings, I had to get a little conniving. So I've done a couple of things that I'm not proud of. I married my son to the only child of a neighboring duke, who was a daughter, and then I may have killed him.
Did what had to be done,
just to get more lands and titles into the line, so I can expand my empire. One of the cool things about this one is that you can form kingdoms dynamically. So if you take over a large swath of territory, then get your independence. You can, like, form a kingdom that never existed historically.
Oh, nice.
And then, when you're done with the game, you can actually import it into Europa Universalis 4, completely different game, and, like, play as that, like, all the way through history as a country that never existed
company?
Ever. Yeah, they are.
Okay.
That's actually pretty awesome.
Yeah. Nice little feature there. And like I said, the expansion adds some cool things. It adds a chronicle. So as you play, the game like basically puts together this scroll that has the history of everything that you've done. Which is it's nice to like go back and flip through, because you keep the way Crusader Kings 2 works. You play as a person. So I'm playing as this duke. And then when he dies, I play as his heir. And then when that heir dies, I play as that person's heir. And it goes down through history. So this chronicle will track everything that ever happened. So at the end of my playthrough, I end up with this story that's dynamically written by the game that has like every year and all the major events. And like I can go back and see what happened. So it's kind of a cool way of like making a story out of a game.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah. The game is fun. It's a little hardcore, like nerdy strategy. There's not a whole lot to look at. You spend your entire time staring at a map. But the kind of stuff that happens in the game, it tells really good stories, and it's really fun to play. So I'm glad they added a new expansion. Nice reason to go back.
Cool. You've also been playing some Sherlock, right?
Yes. I've played through the first couple of cases.
Yeah.
Crimes and Punishments.
Good. Like, should I play that?
You should definitely play that. It's very entertaining. As someone who likes adventure games, I'm sure you'll hop right into this one. I talked a lot about it last week, but the cool thing about Sherlock, you go through these cases and you get clues. And Sherlock will help you along. Because he's got his abilities, he can see things that nobody else sees, and like when you're staring at somebody and you're interrogating them, he'll come up with all these like clues just by looking at the person. So like he can see like the scuff marks on your collar and whether your hands are rough or smooth, and whether your clothes are old or new, and whether you've like into the pawn shop and that kind of stuff, and he can like tell when the person he's talking to is lying based on all of that. So you go through, you get all these clues, and then when you get to the end of the case, it's you yourself have to put these clues together on this like map thing that lets you deduce what actually happened in the case. And you can actually be wrong and still send someone to jail. So,
it's pretty cool.
Yeah, based on those deductions, you can either go with like the right choice or someone who actually deserved to go to prison or whatever. It's kind of cool. Throws your the element of you-ness into the game, even though it's an adventure game, which is nice.
Cool.
There's a lot of like puzzles and stuff. In the first case, there's a guy harpooned to a wall, and so you need to like test how someone gets harpooned. So the game has you like harpooning pigs,
huh.
which is fun.
I'll have to get that. I'll probably wait for the Steam sale.
Yeah, it's already gone on sale on Steam a couple times. So I'm imagining when you hit the fall sale, it'll be pretty cheap.
That'll be great because I have some stuff I have to pick up then. That Divinity,
Wasteland 2,
maybe
that might be more a Tony game than a Chris game.
I like the setting, and I did enjoy the original Fallout and Fallout 2, which is kind of the same style of game, I guess. But the way Peter was explaining it, that seems a little more hardcore than what I'm looking for right now. And it's like a 60-hour game, from what I heard.
Right.
So,
right.
I don't know if I have 60 hours to play a game.
Yeah. Divinity.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if I buy Divinity and
right, you should only buy one of those. That's a good.
Yeah. And you did tell me Divinity. I should probably play that for Game of the Year. So
I think it's number two on my list. So
nice. I've been meaning to get to that too.
It's a excellent game.
Let's see. Yeah, I played a couple things. I played Fantasia Music Evolved.
Ooh.
This week. That is the new Harmonix game. A question actually came in from Justin about that, so we'll touch on that.
Whether
briefly.
It's a game?
Peter started it. It was not wow. me. I didn't say it.
It is a game.
No, I'm just teasing you. I believe that it's a game. I'm surprised it eventually got released, considering how long we've been hearing about it.
Yeah, playing it though, and then Dance Central earlier this year, but back in September, I'm just like, why weren't these games available at launch? Because if you wanted to sell people on the Kinect, like this Fantasia, Music Evolved, Dance Central, Spotlight, and Kinect Sports all should have been there day one, because they are great, you know, showcases for what the Kinect is for games, which if you were trying to sell a game device and make people buy this,
pretty useful.
It's right. Nice to have some games on that game device.
Right, especially since you're like going, hey, the Kinect is, you know, at that point in time, they were definitely going like, you know, Kinect is a vital piece of the hardware and like it needs to be there. Like, but you're still selling a game device. Like, what is the gaming application for Kinect? And you launch with nothing. Like, I know people aren't big on motion gaming, but so Fantasia is, I think, Dance Central, but just your upper body.
Sounds incredibly boring when you think about it.
If you think about it that way, but also think like just like that's kind of like the motion portion. But imagine like if you were conducting like a symphony, like that's kind of what you're doing. Like the motions are kind of very similar. I don't know anything about conducting, but like when I watch like a conductor, like he's waving his arms around all crazy like, and that's kind of what you do here. And you're doing it to the music, and it's a lot of fun, and you totally look like a crazy person, I'm sure. Which I'm very glad that, you know, it is not showing you on the screen. Because I am sure I look like completely insane. Like this dude in front of his television, waving his arms around at abstract, like it.
Do you have to stand while doing it?
You might be able to get away with sitting down, like, cause it really only is focusing on your arms. So it's just arm motion, and I know that you can sit down, like D4, the adventure game. Like, you can sit down and do the motions for that. You don't need to be standing. I was standing when I played it, so. But I assume that you might be able to sit. So basically, the game, you know, it throws you right in. It teaches you the basic movements. There's a swipe, which is kind of, you just flow your arm in a swiping direction. There's a punch, which you're kind of thrusting your arm out. And there's like a swipe and then like hold, or a punch and hold, or swipe and trace, or sometimes you're doing it with multiple hands, and then there's different indicators coming up on screen, so you're waving both arms around at the same time. And I know I probably sound completely insane right now. That
you do.
Just a smidge.
But
it's fine.
It's actually a lot of fun, like, when it's going along, and there is a game there. Like, I
Chris,
know a lot.
Are you being held against your will?
No, I'm fine.
There's someone telling you to say these things.
Harmonix is, like, standing right here with the gun to my head. no, it's like, it actually is just a blast, like, you know, kind of moving along to it, and they make it into an actual game, which is sometimes, you know, a problem with these things. It's like, well, why am I doing it? And there's a giant score on the screen, and you're getting stars like you would in, like, Rock Band or Guitar Hero. But there's also goals, like, very defined goals for each thing that you're doing. So early on, it's like, get 25 swipes. So, like, you're learning how to do the swipes, and you're trying to time it, and you're timing it the right way. And then it's do, like, you know, 10 of the thrusts or whatever. And then it gets a little more intricate, where it's like, unlock the remixes for this. So each song has 3 or 4 different remixes that go along with it, and it changes the way the song sounds. So, like, you could be playing, let's see, what one, where was the remix that I was doing? First remix I think you come across is, like, Rocket Man by Elton John. So, like, you know, he's singing Rocket Man, piano, and then you kind of, like, move it, and all of a sudden, like, instead of a piano backing, it becomes, like, a guitar backing, and the song kind of changes with that, where you can kind of change the vocals to sound a little bit different. And it really makes the song sound differently, and because you're the one controlling it, you can really make it sound how you want to, you know, make it come out and sound on there. Mm-hmm. The one problem I've run into so far is, like, the tutorial, and this was Justin's question, is the tutorial as long as some people are saying? It's ridiculously long.
Okay, yeah, that was actually going to be one of my questions as well.
I played the game for, like, an hour and a half, and I was just wrapping up the tutorial. Like,
that's... It's just for a Kinect game where all you do is wave your arms.
Yeah, it's... Like, and... It's not that much more difficult than, like, the concept behind, like, Dance Central or Rock Band or Guitar Hero, where it's, like, very kind of, like, you're just doing these motions, and they're not complex motions. It's just when everything ties together, there's a complex, you know, meaning to it, but they're not hard. Like, nothing that you're doing is very difficult. But they've insisted on kind of tying this story together with Yen Sid, the sorcerer. They kind of, like, make hints towards his past apprentice, Mickey, and other apprentices he may or may not have had. I mean, so far it's been a good mix of, like, classical music and more popular fare, although... Using popular fare is probably the wrong term, as the songs I played were Something by the Police, Bohemian Rhapsody by Queen, and Rocket Man by Elton John. So I know there are other things in there, there's a Lady Gaga song, and I know there's other songs in there, but I have not come across them all. But the ones that I had the most fun playing, actually, were the, you know, the classical ones, the ones from Fantasia or Fantasia 2000. It's just like, you know, when you're kind of doing the conductor stuff. So, I don't know. I'm having fun with it. I'm going to keep playing it.
Do you think that's the last Kinect game that gets released either by Harmonix or, like, the last major title on Kinect entirely?
I mean, you may see more Kinect Sports at some point. I don't know if, like, Disney or Microsoft will put big money into something like this again. I think what we'll see is more smaller Kinect-based games, like Dance Central Spotlight, where, you know, the investment probably doesn't require a large team, and you can build on stuff like that over time. Which is a shame, because, like, I don't know, I think the Kinect has some things to offer. Kinect Fitness is awesome. You know, if or Xbox Fitness, if, like, you're looking for that, like, definitely as a fitness device, it has its uses. I mean, and I enjoy Dance Central. I'm enjoying Fantasia. Kinect Sports is fun, if a bit flawed. But, yeah, I'm not sure there's a big... I think they kind of screwed themselves by tying so hard to it at the beginning and not having anything to go with it. And it definitely looks like... what's the guy's name now? The guy in charge?
Don't know.
It's Matrick was the one who left, right?
Oh, Microsoft, you mean. You mean Phil Spencer.
Phil Spencer, yeah. Phil Spencer definitely seems like he is kind of more about, like, in terms of games at least, more interested in pushing more traditional gaming, which I think he kind of needs to do in terms of, turning the Xbox's fortunes around, so... Yeah, I don't know if we'll see a big push for Kinect anymore. Whatever. I also started Dreamfall Chapters. I guess full disclosure, I kickstarted this game, or I, like, put money towards kickstarting it.
I have the original on my Steam. I need to play that?
So do you have the Longest Journey, or do you have Dreamfall: The Longest Journey?
Dreamfall: The Longest Journey.
All right, so that's the sequel. That is the second game. It's three games, actually. Longest Journey was a more traditional point-and-click adventure game. It's released back, I don't know, 97 or so? 97, 98? Maybe a little bit later than that, but it was not a 3D game at all. It was a lot of pixel hunting in that. Great story, though. Fantastic story. Somehow it received a sequel, Dreamfall: The Longest Journey, which involves, like, a dream machine and stuff, and there's definitely some cool story bits there. I feel I might need to go back and play that one again, because I'm not remembering certain aspects of the story, and it definitely picks up after the events of that game, so...
Nice. But is this one 3D?
Yeah, it's 3D. I believe Dreamfall: The Longest Journey is also 3D. It's still an adventure. Like, they're still adventure games, but Dreamfall Chapters, it looks beautiful to start with, but it's definitely takes some points from, like, The Walking Dead and more modern adventure games. Where, like, your decisions kind of will impact the way you play, and characters will remember what you chose and what actions you did over time, or at least that's what it's implying through the first part of the game.
What it seems like.
Yeah, like, it's saying, like, oh, this guy will remember that, like, just kind of like The Walking Dead did.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like, this straight up that sort of thing. But the story definitely seems cool. There's, I played the first chapter, which sounds crazy. So, it's episodic. This is book one. So it's Dreamfall Chapters, book one. And I played the first chapter of book one. So,
oh, wow.
So that's confusing, right? Dreamfall Chapters, book one, chapter one. Is what I played so far, and it definitely it's an adventure game straight on through, like, where you're going, all right, what do I have to do? I have this item. What exactly? I have this item. What do I have to click it on? What do I do? Okay, I need... all right, that's the solution. Found it. Like, now I use the key on the door. And Zoe, who is the main protagonist, she has special powers that she can use in this kind of dream world that she starts out in. And the puzzles kind of rely on that. It's really cool. It's a lot of fun. You know, if you like adventure games, maybe give that a shot. Although I would probably play Dreamfall the Longest Journey first. So, hope that answers your question, Pete.
Cool.
And then finally, I played... Is it called Frontier Defense, Tony?
Frontier Defense.
Yeah, Frontier Defense in Titanfall.
Let me in. I want to play... I was watching football. I felt bad.
It's fun. It's a four-player co-op wave-based tower defense, I guess, or singular tower that you're defending. It's called a Harvester. I'm not sure what it's doing. Like, there is some sort of narrative that goes on in Titanfall. None of it's ever made any sense to me. They keep trying to push it in there, but I don't get it.
It's hard to hear while there's all those explosions.
Yeah, there's stuff blowing up. There's lots of gunfire. There's people getting stepped on. You're dropping in Titans. There's helicopters, and like everything's going crazy. And then they're trying to give you story. It's like stop talking to me.
just don't bother.
Yeah. What they do is, I don't think each map is the same. So the first map that I played, it was where the fallen military ship. It kind of segments the village. It's like that big aircraft carrier thing that fell into the middle, and then on either side is like there's buildings.
Yeah,
and you could fight inside the ship. So that was the first map I played on, and the Harvesters in the back of that one map, and that was only four waves. But then I played on another map. I think it's one of the DLC maps, and that was five waves. So, like, they said you are on your final wave in both of them, and I actually completed the second one I played, and they're not the same waves in each one either. So it's starts out pretty easy. Normally a grunt, like waves of grunts coming at you, and then like a lot of them though, like 100 or so, and then a Titan or two, and then wave two kind of increases that. So you may get what they call suicide specters, which are specters that when they run at a target, whether it be you, your Titan, the Harvester, and when they get there, they detonate. They're basically just suicide bombers. So they are dangerous, but if you shoot them and they're clustered together, you can take out a bunch of them together. There are also things called nuclear Titans, who are set up with the nuclear detonation. So when they die, they, you know, go nuclear. So you want to keep them as far away from your Harvester as possible, and you, because you don't want to be caught in the blast. So you want to take them out early, and they kind of rush at you as well. Then there are mortar Titans, where they're Titans, and they will set up shop on the far side of the map and shoot mortars at your tower.
And oh, so you have to go after them.
You have to go there, or they'll take out your tower very quickly. So it forces you to move around the map when they show up. So it's like there's just a bunch of, you know, different things going on. And then, like, the final wave is just kind of a big melding of it all. You have the nuclear Titans, you'll have mortar Titans, you'll have regular Titans attacking you. In the one match I was playing... There were, at one point, like 15 Titans on the map at one point, which is way more than what you'd normally get. So, because at best or worst, depending upon how you look at it, you can only have like 12. If everybody on both teams had one, You would only ever have 12, so...
Which never happens, so...
No. It's like, because people are getting their Titans quicker, they're losing them, like... You never have more than, like, 4 or 5 on a match, on a map at one time, so... I don't know, I found it a lot of fun, and... Best thing about it, at least for me, was that my progression kept going. And if you are, like, stuck on, like, you need to get X amount of kills with a certain weapon, this very quickly helps you out. So I was having trouble with, like, the rockets, the quad rockets, in Gen 4. And I got, like, 15 kills with the quad rockets. So I am now, like, well on my way to Gen 5.
Oh, man. The sniper rifle, I can hop in there.
Right.
Start taking out dudes.
Yeah. It's, like, it all kind of... as long as it's not, like, you have to kill pilots with it.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Towards it. And then they added a... I don't know if we ever talked about, like, the black market and the fact that you can now sell your burn cards... to get credits, and then you can buy stuff in the black market. But one of the items that they are selling in the black market for a big 100,000 credits is it's called forged credentials or forged qualifications, which allows you to bypass one of the challenges in your regen requirements. So you can totally skip one if you're having trouble with it.
Nice.
I mean, obviously it's going to take a lot of your credits, but, you know, if you are stuck on something like the Gooser, which is that annoying one where you have to kill the people that are ejecting from their Titan.
Oh, yes.
You can totally just bypass that by, you know, using your 100,000 credits, and I'm done with that one now and move on to the next gen, so... I don't know, they've done a lot of great things in Titanfall. And that game's still a blast to play.
Awesome.
Game of the year. Game of the year.
It's up there. It's definitely best supported game of the year, I would say. It's so good. It's like... It's one of those things where it's like, alright, I'm done. I'm kind of done. Like, I don't... I'm not playing it every day anymore, and you move away from it, and then they do something like this, and it's like, damn, I want to play more. Like, this game is really, really good. It's still really, really good. And they've done things that now I don't have to play competitively, because playing competitively in that game, I've been outclassed. Like, I was able to hold my own for a good 2-3 months, even maybe 4 months in when I was playing on a regular basis. But now I, like, go in, like, those dudes will just slaughter me. Like, they know all the tricks. I am not on the same level of skill that they are, and that's one thing I think Titanfall doesn't do well, is match you up skill-wise. But now with this kind of co-op mode, gives me a reason to go in and continue playing with that game. At least until Halo comes out. So... what do we got for news, Tony?
Oh, we got a couple things. Ignoring the insanity that's happened around Gamergate, there was another issue with someone threatening another person. A developer called Code Avarice released a game on Steam a while ago called Paranautical Activity. And a game was in early access. Well, it moved from early access to full release, except for some reason there was an error or whatever. So the game was still marked on Steam as early access. Well, the one of the developers working on the game, in fact, the guy who's the head of the studio, sees that it's marked as early access, reports it to Steam, and then just goes off on Twitter. He starts off saying, you know, "Are you fucking kidding me, Steam?" Then he tweets, "First they forced me to delay the game because I can't release on weekends. Now this. Steam is the most incompetent piece of fucking shit." And his final tweet was, I am going to kill Gabe Newell. He is going to die.
Why would you say such a thing? Like, all right, I get you're upset with Steam. I get that, like, you are finding whatever you are upset with to be really frustrating, and you are calling them out on it. But then to just, like, basically, I mean, isn't that a criminal offense? Like,
it is, yes. So, because of this death threat, because it is, in fact, a death threat, Valve went ahead and removed the game from Steam entirely.
Jesus.
And has ceased all contact with the studio.
Well, and then he resigned, I think, from
yes,
the studio.
Yes, he resigned.
He's a fucking douche. Like, the self-entitlement of this guy, like, the sheer narcissism, like, blew my mind.
The rage. The rage he has inside that he can't hold there. Yeah, he resigned. He said that, I don't have the willpower necessary to be the face of a company. If I do to continue to work in games, I'll be an anonymous 1 out of 1,000 at some shitty corporation. Not the most public figure of a single-digit size team. I'm out. That was his resignation. I hope he gets the help he needs, because he clearly needs help.
Yes. Wow. Wow.
Yep.
But note to anyone out there who's listening, if you have someone who sells your product, and this is the only person who sells your product, perhaps it's not a good idea to threaten that person's life in a public forum.
No.
No. Just don't go there.
I do kind of hope that, like, with him gone, that you know, maybe the company can get back with Valve and be like, please. Like,
please. He's gone.
Because it really seems like, I mean, I'm sure that he had, you know, there were a team of people working there, and this guy kind of just fucked it up for everybody, and it's... But, I mean, maybe that's what happens when you work for an asshole. Like, I don't know. don't make death threats. Like, I don't know how else to say it.
There's no excuse. There's no excuse for threatening someone's life on Twitter.
No.
Or at all, really, for that matter.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe in person. They're threatening you. Kill you. No, probably.
Yeah,
probably shouldn't.
You probably shouldn't say that either. I don't, like, I've been pretty angry. I don't know if I've ever been that angry. Maybe I have. I'm pretty angry.
I don't think I've ever threatened someone's life, though.
Yeah. I mean, I might have when I was younger, but this guy, obviously, probably a little bit older. Like, he ran a company.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that doesn't necessarily... I mean, it's an indie developer. He could be 25.
True, he could have just started his own. I mean, we know people that have their own companies as well, so...
Right.
Yeah, that doesn't... I guess that doesn't indicate anything, especially in tech.
Yeah.
Oh, well. What else we got?
So, Battlefield 4... launched last year horrifically.
Yes.
A lawsuit was brought against the company, against EA, by a couple of shareholders who indicated that EA executives in earnings calls had made misleading and factually incorrect statements about how Battlefield 4 was progressing and how the launch would take place. So they sued EA, trying to get, you know, the money back, because EA's stock obviously plummeted after Battlefield 4 was launched. The lawsuit was dismissed a couple of days ago, when this podcast is airing, I suppose, as puffery. Apparently you're allowed to exaggerate the quality of your stuff pre-launch, so...
Huh. I would... I don't know. I mean, I guess legally, the judge definitely knows what he's talking about. I would just think that if you're talking to shareholders, like, you should be telling them the truth. Like,
right. The judge said it was a vague statement of corporate optimism.
I could see that. Like,
yeah.
I have definitely been in earnings calls where, you know, people are going, hey, we are doing good, or we are doing bad. Like, and it's like, what does that mean?
Right.
Yeah.
I've been in meetings and jobs that I've had where someone has said, like, Bob was doing a great job. It was fantastic. But we're going to go in another direction.
Yes. Been there too.
Like, yeah. Wait a minute. Part of that doesn't fall into the other part. What? Yeah. But it's
Bob,
the kind of
Bob,
thing.
Bob no longer works with us either. Oh, he was doing awesome.
See, Bob. But it's one of those things, like, you can't, like, in a corporate setting, you can't say, okay, and this game that I'm working on is going terribly, absolutely terribly. Because they'll be like, oh, then why are you here doing a terrible job?
So, update on Jeff. He is alive.
That's good.
He went to rest for a second at 9.
and woke up, and it was 3 hours later.
Fell into a vortex.
His girlfriend woke him up, and she asked him what he's doing, and he said, I have a show at 10, and she said, it's 11. So he's alive, though, so he did not die from that doctor.
That's good.
We got any other news?
Last piece of news I had, there's a team playing in the World Series right now. The Kansas City Royals.
Yes.
They were doing pretty well this season. And then sometime around the middle of the season, they started losing. They went on a losing streak. They lost 10 out of 13 games. Apparently, the reason that they lost 10 out of 13 games was right before the losing streak started. Someone on the team introduced the rest of the team to the MMO strategy game Clash of Clans. And they were playing it obsessively in the clubhouse. And no one could focus on baseball. So they started losing games. The manager of the team had to have a closed-door team meeting in which he banned the game.
This is absurd.
He got angry when he walked into the clubhouse and saw the entire team with their heads down, eyes locked on their iPads.
That is fantastic. Oh, they turned it around, I guess.
They
after
turned
that
it around.
Ban, so.
The game was banned from the clubhouse, and then they instantly won 16 of their next 19 games. It was very surprising.
That's crazy. So there you go. Video games are bad for you.
They are. They're bad for baseball.
Who would have known?
If you were a professional baseball player, perhaps you shouldn't play games during the game.
That's, yes. Pete, you said there was some Smash Brothers news.
Yeah, I guess they did a Nintendo Direct today, yesterday. I don't know what time it is or what day it is, but sometime recently.
Yeah.
And there's a huge list of total nonsense that no one in their right mind would care about, but there are one or two things that matter. Local multiplayer can support up to 8 people now on certain stages. I think there's 4 stages or something that can do.
That's local multiplayer?
Yeah, only local.
Wow. I don't even know 8 people.
Right?
You guys are 2, and you live, like, really far from me. I suppose I could go up to Philly.
Jeff. But Jeff would have to come here, yeah. Or we come to Washington. It's actually
Fozzie
probably
flying.
I mean, you two are pretty close. the two of you. Fozzie would have to fly in. Jeff would have to fly in. I'd have to drive down to you guys. But that's five.
Yeah, that's still not even enough.
We could rope in Earl. He's in New York.
That's not too far, yeah.
That's still, we're only at six.
Yeah.
And then we need to get some controllers, because I don't think that any of us...
Well, we need to get, like, two of those GameCube things, and then eight GameCube controllers, because no one in their right mind is going to play with a fucking Wii controller.
I probably would, because I'm not buying a GameCube controller. Can you play with the Pro controller?
I think I would imagine so. It'd be really weird if you couldn't.
I have a Pro controller.
Let's see what else. There's a bunch of modes. Blah blah blah. Nothing really important. Yeah, we'll support a bunch of controllers: GameCube, Classic Wii, Nunchuck, Wii Remote Plus, GamePad, Pro Controller, and 3DS. Are all controllers?
Mouse, Xbox 360 controller, PS4, DualShock.
Oh, if only. There's this masterpiece mode that has like really small demos of, like the games that the characters first appeared in.
That's kind of cool.
Which is pretty cool. And I vaguely remember Brawl having something like that as well, where you could play like an hour of Ocarina of Time or something. And stuff like that. So that's fairly neat.
Any new characters announced?
That was one of the other things. There was one other thing. There's a stage builder, like there was in Brawl. And they'll eventually add the ability for you to share these stages online with other players. Which is pretty neat. But otherwise, that was just, I don't know. IGN has a 53 bullet point listed thing if you're curious about all the nitty gritty nonsense. But yeah, that, and then they announced Mewtwo as like the first downloadable character. And if you own both versions of the game, you'll be able to get him for free.
Huh. Yeah, that's nice. I don't care enough about him, so.
No, me neither. I don't think I'll care enough about any of the characters they wind up selling to ever pay for any of them. So.
Well, there you go. That's sometime in November, right? End of November?
Yeah, that or early December or something.
Captain Toad is, like, December 4th, so I know it comes out before that. I think it's before Black Friday. I think it might be the Friday before Black Friday, so maybe the 21st or something like that. I don't know. That game is going to sell a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to buy a console for it, so probably around Christmas time. But
still no interest, Tony. No interest in a Wii U.
I mean, there's a mild interest there, but I already have more games than I can possibly play.
Yeah,
it's hard to make that jump.
Well, you could play Bayonetta 2.
I heard that was really good, actually.
Yeah, it sounds really good. I would love to play that game, but am I going to buy a whole console for it?
Probably not. No.
No. Probably not.
Nor should you.
No.
But, like, I know that there are other Wii games I want. Smash Brothers is simply...
The Wii U definitely has a good lineup of titles, so... There's stuff there to play.
So does my PC.
Yeah, I have so many games on there.
Yeah, I want to get to other ones, like Mordor and... Evil Within and other junk and stuff that
I've seen. Yeah, I mean, we're not done the rest of this year yet. Like, for Xbox One, you got Sunset Overdrive next week, and Unity's coming. I don't know, I'm going to play Call of Duty, Halo's coming, Far Cry 4.
Civ Beyond Earth is available now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could probably turn it on right now because I preloaded it, so.
Don't do it. We'll never hear from you again.
No, I was thinking, like, I'll try that out after the podcast is over. And I'm like, I have to go to work tomorrow. And yes. Then I'm doing 24 hours straight of video games on Saturday.
One of these years I will need to get on this.
I will die if I play Civ right now.
Right. But that sounds like a great thing to play during...
Oh, yeah, definitely going to play some of that. Play some of that, play some Titanfall. I might play some of the previous Sherlock game, because I have that.
Oh, yes.
The Testament of Sherlock Holmes.
Let me know if that's good, because I might get that.
Everything I've heard about everything since Sherlock Holmes versus Jack the Ripper has been good. So, but I will let you know. I heard Sherlock Holmes dies in the Testament of Sherlock Holmes.
I heard that too.
Yes.
And you play as a dog.
Oh, now I'm sold.
Right? You probably should be.
Do you play as the dog? He's always like poisoning and.
I don't know. I haven't played it yet, so I just
eat Sherlock Holmes lunch.
I remember it was 3 years ago. Giant Bomb went to look at it at E3, and the developers, like, that was the selling point, was that Sherlock Holmes dies and you play as the dog. Like, that was what they kept, like, going on. It's like, why are you telling me? Why would you tell me that Sherlock Holmes dies in this game that is Sherlock Holmes?
Right. that character you love to play as? Yeah, he's dead.
We're going to kill him, and you're going to play as the dog. Like, why would you do that? Yeah, so Don and I are doing Extra Life on Saturday. You could come watch a stream. We'll be tweeting out, so follow our Twitter feeds. Fozzie is also doing it. Fozzie is doing it with our friend Javi and some of his friends out there in Seattle. So, yeah, keep an eye out. We'll be streaming. Don might have stuff to give away. I'm not sure if he ever contacted people on that or not. So
I think we have random codes to give away anyway, don't we?
Yeah, I know I have Steam codes in our code vault, so that we have not given away. We could probably give some of them away. So, yeah, there's that going on. Tony's playing, he'll be playing Civ for review. I'll be playing Civ for the fun of it, I guess. Sunset Overdrive next week.
Right.
Anything else?
Oh, nice. I didn't realize it was next week.
Next week, new expansion to EU4 next week.
There you go.
The Art of War.
What were you saying, Pete?
I hope that Sunset Overdrive is a good game.
I do, too. Bought it.
I would do it.
And I'm pretty sure Jeff hopes it's a good game, too. He's really looking forward to it. I want an Insomniac game besides Ratchet to be good.
Yeah.
This definitely looks to have, like, you know, the vibrant look of Ratchet and some of that humor. So I'm hoping that they kind of hit this one, because Fuse was a giant disappointment. And Resistance never really clicked with me. It wasn't bad, but...
I agree. Resistance, I only played the first one. It was okay.
And it got worse. Like, 2 wasn't good at all. 3 was a slight step up. But the only thing that was ever good about that game were the weapons. They were fun. But, yeah. So we'll be back next week. With some new stuff to talk about.
Did anyone see the Avengers trailer, though?
I did.
It's hard to avoid.
Did you see it? You saw it, Tony?
It's everywhere.
Yeah.
They emailed it to me.
Did they?
Yeah, well, I have the...
Marvel Unlimited, right?
Yeah, so... Here, watch this. Spend more money.
I don't know. I I wasn't wowed, but I'm sure I'll love the movie, so.
Weren't wowed.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
I'm assuming you were.
No, I'm just teasing. I thought it was neat.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it. I'm curious to see.
Neat's a good word for it. I'll go with
what
that.
What happens. But
Hawkeye running around, that was cool. I like Hawkeye. Black Widow coming out of the jet there on her motorcycle, that was cool.
What do you think about James Spader?
He's James Spader.
Yeah, he kind of is James Spader, isn't he?
I like James Spader.
Sure.
I mean, there's lots of stuff. Like, I like a lot of what's going on. I like a lot of those characters. But nothing was like. Like, I mean, I guess it's, some of it, too, is I'm already sold on The Avengers 2, so.
Ah, okay.
Nothing.
So, like,
they,
the trailers
they,
really aren't doing anything for you?
Yeah, nothing that they show me is going to be like, I need to go, like, I'm going to go see it when it comes out, like, immediately. Like,
but, dude, one of those, Hulk busts one of those armor. Films.
Yeah.
It's fairly dope looking.
Yeah, and then I did, like, you know, the one thing I really liked about that trailer was Cap's shield being busted.
Yeah, that I'm pretty cool. sure that's a dream sequence.
That sucks. Yeah. I don't like Cap.
Really?
Yeah, I've never
like
been a
you
fan.
Don't like him in the movies, or you just never liked him in the comic books.
Yeah, I just don't like him as a character. I find him boring. Like, I mean, the movies are alright. The first Avenger, that was fun. Like, campy pulp type. And then Winter Soldier was solid action movie. Spy, espionage, action movie, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
It was fun, yeah. I liked it. But yeah, I'm not a huge Captain America fan. So, the shield being busted was cool. I'd be alright if Captain America died. That won't happen, but...
Well, it depends on if they can keep paying him enough money.
Yeah, I think he's under contract for at least 3, right? Like, for Cap 3?
Yeah.
So, we know he's going to live through this, at least. We'll see. Did you like it, Tony?
Which movie? Sorry, it wasn't...
The trailer for...
Oh, yeah, it was good. Yeah. I mean, just like you, I'm already sold at the movie, so I'm kind of...
Yeah, it's hard to be like, you're going to sell me harder.
Look, it's a Hulkbuster. Well, fine.
I'll give you my money right now.
Yes. Just give me the movie. Stop with the trailers. Put the movie out.
Actually,
it's like with this Titanfall update. It's like, oh, we're announcing this great update, and it's out tomorrow. Yay!
Yeah, that was awesome. Like, because they were like, they did like an hour-long presentation on it, and they're like, yeah, and it's tomorrow. Like, no way.
That seems that's impossible. And it's free.
Right.
That sounds like a Valve move.
It's a huge piece of content, and it's out now. It's like, you just go get it. Just update your game. Oh. Well, that's it for us for tonight. We'll be back next week. It's,
see
Jeff
ya.
And Fozzie aren't here. Yeah, Pete, say goodnight.
Good night.